Welcome to Three in the Box, the Even for the Hockey Podcast. This is me, being in the studio with me. On my right is Aaron.
Hello.
Nice Mario hat there, Aaron. Liking it?
Thank you, thank you.
All right, and to my left is Kenny.
What up?
As every week, Kenny. Nice GNP hat. Behind me is Jive. I don't think he's wearing a hat.
Yeah. Most of my friends will tell you that I don't know how to wear one.
He's sitting at our control booth and figuring out how to wear a hat is a tricky conundrum.
He's talking about a particular type of hat.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I kind of guessed.
Johnny hat?
Something like
James,
that.
James hat?
Yes.
Something to that effect, yes, yes. So now you know which one of us has kids. Little insider info for those of you that have listened through the whole season, as it were. All right. Short week, short things to talk about. One of the last weeks of regulation coming up, or the last week of regulation finishing off this week.
Yeah, and coming back at you next week with some playoff hockey.
Exactly. Ooh. And the last week, we had three games from the Wild. Nice, short, easy one for us to cover. So, Kenny, how about you start with the first bit of news from last week?
Well, last Wednesday, the Wild had approached the AHL about potentially moving their farm team, the Houston Aeros, to another city. They were not getting along, from my understanding, with the Toyota Center.
The landlord,
basically. Yep. So the next day, they announced that they would be moving their team to Iowa. So,
which we were all fairly excited about.
Yeah,
there was rumors about it, which we did.
Moving to
last
Des Moines,
week.
I mean, you know, made me happy just even hearing the rumors because, you know, that's a lot closer for a road trip.
Yeah.
And then Monday, I believe, they had actually had a press conference in Des Moines with a new name, new sweaters. So they are going to be the Iowa Wild.
And they're using a jersey that's pretty close to the one the Aeros were wearing. White jersey with the same sort of script that the current green jerseys that the Wild wear. So it's really close.
They're basically wearing what we heard rumors the Wild are going to change their away whites to.
And now it's not happening, though.
Yeah, and that rumor is, well, it sounds like the jersey style might be the same, but it's not going to be the same script lettering.
So they have, which I think Russo today had said that, yes, they are going to be changing, the Wild will be changing their away sweaters. But they will not look like what the Houston, or excuse me,
the Iowa Wild
sweaters look like.
You got my money is on them going with like the blocky kind of Minnesota or Wild lettering.
What the Gophers have one of their alternate sweaters that are like that, I believe.
Yeah,
where it's Minnesota going across in like the very blocky script.
The only other option is to have that same shield they use on the red jerseys. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to do lettering.
Yeah, that's more. I don't think any team really does that for their road sweaters.
Right.
I mean, I usually see that either for home or alternate, but
right,
not so much for road.
And I think they're trying to go a little more old school retro, jab.
Yeah.
It does actually make it good for road trips for those of us that are fans, because as much as I always wanted to head down to Houston in the middle of winter to watch the Aeros play down in a warm state just as a nice vacation, it never was going to happen for me.
You know,
I won't church it up with the couple of trips I do a year. The likelihood of me heading to Houston to see the Aeros play versus going to see a Wild game in Chicago or Detroit or, you know, a city where it would be a fun game to watch the Wild play, I'm more likely to go see the Wild. But with the Aeros now being the Iowa Wild, that's a one-day trip.
Right.
Well, I mean, Aaron and I got to see a couple of Arrows games this
year.
But
we still didn't go to Houston to see them.
We did not. Actually, one was up here in St. Paul at the X. Back
I was at that game as well.
You were, yep. Yes. About a section over from us, from what I remember.
Yeah, I want to say I was on the near side of 26, and you were on the far side of 28, which actually put us closer together and literally one section apart.
And then the second time just happened to be... happened to just be down in when we were down in Austin, and it was a short trip down to San Antonio. Right. So,
all right, sweet. And then we have to get into the sad news of Thursday.
Yeah.
The Wild just totally blown out by the Sharks, 6-1.
It wasn't even close either. I mean,
well, for the early part of the game, I thought it was a little bit closer than that. It really wasn't. Never mind. Like. For the first half of the game, I'll say the first half of the game, it was closer.
But then it just got out of hand. I mean,
right towards the end of the second period, Havlat got a second goal. It was 2-1 at the halfway mark of the game, halfway through the second period.
Right.
And looked like there was still a chance. The boys were skating well, and then it just started to crumple. Havlat tagged another one with about 5 minutes left on the last half of the second period, and the third period was all San Jose, just making it very, very painful to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way to really sugarcoat how bad of a game it was. And really, in hindsight, it might have been I think Backstrom really needs a game off here at some point. At this point, he's not going to get it because the Wild need wins now. But... I mean, maybe if they've locked it up after Friday night's game, maybe then they'll have a Harding play the last game because it's more of like just give a chance. Cause it's going to be a back-to-back end of the season.
So, well, ultimately, one of the things I said is, obviously, even when people are saying, well, he's tired. They only have Kemper really left at that point.
Right.
Only had Kemper left to back him up, but they never would start him. They have to do that here and there. They can't just have somebody eating up the spot on the bench as the backup goalie.
Because otherwise, when they do need him, he's going to be so rusty and not be able to play. I mean...
And this will definitely be something that will be very obvious as we come into the next game. But it was painful to watch because there was hope until that third period, and then it just kept getting more and more soul-crushing.
Yeah, it was depressing.
It hit a point where I have to admit I just glance up at the screen, kind of watch for a couple of seconds, and order another beer and drink it very, very quickly.
Yeah, it was
dull the pain,
morale crushing loss, really
horribly so as a fan, and it was nice to be able to watch the game. I did end up with the night off and was able to watch the game. I remember watching the third period and shaking my head, but yeah, I was drinking very heavily during that third period because of how horrible and more, like you said, just totally deflating all the morale and going, no.
So, speaking of goalies, the goalie situation, Josh Harding actually got a couple conditioning starts in Houston. He split the games 1-1. I think he won his first conditioning start. So,
yeah.
He did let in a fair amount of goals. I mean, I think he had given up 5 goals over 45 shots or something like that. So it wasn't like it was stellar, but, you know, being that none of us could watch the game, who knows what the quality of those shots were or anything like that.
It is nice to see him back on the ice and actually facing shots, though.
And I know afterwards he said that, yeah, we've got the medication for the MS figured out, and I'm feeling way better.
You know, here's to hoping that it actually works, and it's more of a long term rather than, hey, it's working for a couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden
it starts to fall apart again.
Falling apart.
Here's a quick cheers to Harding for fighting the good fight right now. Cheers. Harding, this one's being drank to you, buddy. All right. That then brings us up to Sunday, doesn't it? Not really much going on Saturday, so.
No, Saturday kind of a slow news day. But again, a very disappointing Wild loss against Calgary, 4-1. Which is, you know, that's given up 10 goals in 2 games and only getting 2 goals. goals for us. I mean, that's an 80% difference. That's pretty bad.
Additionally, it's their fifth home loss in a row.
Yeah.
The really sad part for me was watching how well they were skating, how well the defensive pairs were actually matching
up,
how well everything was being juggled. The amount they were out shooting them more than 2-1.
Yeah.
And McDowell was just standing on his head doing a great job of goaltending.
But you know what? If once it gets down to playoffs, they're going to be playing goalies that are playing lights out. They need to figure out ways to score.
Exactly. And it was so depressing to see them just totally out skating and out playing and just not being able to find the twine.
Well, you know, and three of Calgary's goals were power play goals.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, pretty disappointing because they the
and
power
one was
play
an empty net.
Yeah.
Oh, empty net power play. Yuck. But, you know, their power play started off pretty strong this season, and it's
fallen.
It's fallen.
Fell horribly, and we just put their stat back up.
You know, and you're not gonna win games by giving up power play goals, especially when you're getting penalties called against you that aren't penalties.
And you're not getting any makeup calls.
You're not getting
going the
anything
other way.
Coming back. You I know. Mean,
and I think another part of the problem, and we'll get to this next, is that a lot of the young guys were playing pretty poorly, actually. Zucker and Granlund had a ton of turnovers in neutral zone or near the blue line that they really shouldn't be turning those over.
Well, it was Granlund's penalty that was Calgary's first goal for interference.
And that was when they were on the power play. So they negated what power play they had and then gave them a power play on top of that.
Are you talking the first half of the game or
the second
period, half?
The first period of the Calgary game.
Okay.
Well, and it still comes down to Backstrom being tired as well.
Yeah.
Because ultimately he was not facing many shots. I want to say going into the third period, he had only faced 12 shots and had let in 2 goals.
Wild, though. I mean, 0 for 3 on the PK that night. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, granted, one was an empty net, but still to put it at 5-on-5 hockey at that point.
But, but it's like you had this night where
they were killing off a penalty as well. So, yeah, it was 5-on-5 without a goalie.
5-on-5 hockey without a goalie. Yeah.
Well, you had this game where you had McDonald playing lights out, and it's easy to dismiss it as he's just playing so good there's no way you can beat him. But the same happened a week ago with Bobrovsky. And, you know,
Bobrovsky, I think, is a better goalie than McDowell.
I mean,
Bobrovsky is amazing.
I mean, he's a potential Vezina candidate. So. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to dismiss it as he's the same as McDonald, but at the same point, I don't want to elevate McDonald to Bobrovsky level.
No, he had a great night. Yeah. He just had a great night. That's all there is to it.
You know, the problem is you can't really be letting a goalie get a great night
and
in the playoffs.
It ruin you, yeah.
No, right. in a playoff situation, because a goalie has a couple of great nights in a row. Now you're on the edge of getting knocked out of playoffs,
well, that,
and you're
that,
hitting
that,
the links.
That, and it seemed like a lot of their shots are going, they're not aiming for corners or holes. It's all straight at the body, and there's no rebound chances here.
He was able to close off the 5-hole often enough and grab it, like, in the 5-hole, and also do a great job on the couple of rebounds that were coming off his pads.
Right.
Whole open side of the net, and somehow his flailing would just mystically block the puck and get it away.
But I think that's also a matter of not us parking a guy right in front of the goalie to clean up that garbage. Not frequently enough. You get it on the first
not
line?
Not frequently enough. Fair
Who,
enough.
You get Who's it on left the, on our team that can do that?
I would say Coyle. Coyle's a definite guy who can do that. Koivu does it a bit, too.
Yeah.
Parisi actually even does it, too. I mean, that whole first line does it.
They rotate through and they pay attention to who's in what
And through the
position.
Rest of the roster?
Clutterbuck definitely will be the one to post up in front of the goalie, while the other two that are a little more efficient at skating and
but
sniping.
The names get pretty short, though.
Yes.
True. Pottmanville.
As far as guys that will actually park it there.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get your fourth line guys doing it, but that's also your scrappy line.
They still can't score even when they park their butts there, you know.
But it does wear down on the goalie and on the defense.
Yeah, and Rupp's out and Knopf goes out as well. So.
Well, I think Knopf is back now, I believe.
If I remember correctly, was that the game where Stoner got into a little bit of a tussle?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
And it was a defenseman-on-defenseman fight.
Yeah,
it was.
Which is kind of a rare one to see.
And he ended up...
Not as rare as goalie-on-goalie, but... And I'd say he got the better of the fight.
No,
He ended up breaking his nose.
What? He took the last punch, and he
Stoner
did take a few punches, But he threw enough, and there was he was definitely the one to put the guy
Stepniak
down to the
ice. Yeah, no, yeah. He broke Stepniak. He broke his nose. Sarek.
Yeah.
All right.
But that was a fun little tussle, which helped kind of motivate. And that was right around the same time that the Wild scored their goal, right around the halfway mark of the second period.
Right.
So.
And then the Wild did have a game off in between, a day off in between two games, and they had a full team practice. And they actually had a team sit down where everyone got in a room and aired their grievances.
Before the Calgary game or after?
After the Calgary.
After.
Okay.
After you lose, you know, that many.
After a 2 day off break and come back and lose epically again.
Yeah.
To a team that's already out of the playoffs and playing rookies, a ton of rookies have traded away their captain.
Yeah.
You know. And Kiprusoff is on his way out of the door as well. So it's
they had to have a little come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right. And then.
Well, obviously.
Anybody got anything else on that one?
But there are some repercussions from that.
Oh, yeah. The following day, Monday morning, there was a lot of movements going on. Harding, who we obviously had just mentioned, got a couple of conditioning games, got brought back up to be the goalie behind. Behind Backstrom. Dowell and Veju come back up. Granlund, Zucker, and Kemper all sent back down to what's still the Houston Aeros for another couple games.
Well, they made playoffs.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs.
Actually, Harding's first conditional game guaranteed them a playoff spot. His win.
Yep.
And that's such a pleasant thing. But obviously, Yo wanted to make sure the lines got moved around a little bit. And one thing I did notice both in the Calgary game and the game that followed is there was a lot of juggling of lines where he's acting a little bit more the general behind the bench as opposed to just sitting on his hands.
Well, and another thing that I think Yo pointed out is that from that whole come to Jesus thing is that, and I think he didn't call out any guys, but basically he's saying the team is playing too much perimeter game. You know, his plan is the dump and chase. That's his plan. And if you're not getting in front of the net, getting dirty, you're not going to be able to do much if you're just shooting from the perimeter and not getting into the lanes and, you know, putting the stick on the puck. So, you know, they had to do that. And if they're not buying into Yo's system, they got to go.
Yeah. And hey that. Yeah,
exactly. And
just put the dog out who's dying.
Another thing that, I mean, there's been jokes about it. This week is slightly different. There's always been the joke of the Wild are doing great against great teams. They play great against the great teams, and then they just lose it to the teams that suck.
They lose the games they should win.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say the Sharks are a team that sucks.
No,
but
I was going to say that is an example of the other side of the coin where, okay.
Right.
That was a team that is looking at a playoff berth that they lost to for a change, but most of their losses you're looking at are teams that are struggling and looking at conditional things where it requires teams
down the stretch
to lose.
That's true.
For them to get into the playoffs.
But overall,
like
overall,
Blue Jackets and
overall, the record against losing team though is actually above. It's really good.
Fair enough.
But
I know that's been a very opinionated joke that's been thrown around.
It's tough when we're down at this point in the season. They're losing games to teams like that.
Yes.
And especially when they've done so well this season against teams like that. And now just go,
well, and that,
you know,
basically kind of puts them out of getting a possible fourth seed spot also. I think
it did,
which
keep
we'll
them
end
out
up
of
talking about later. But I think the highest is now is 5.
Yep.
But that's coming up in our playoff preview.
And so, you know, the same day that they announced all these moves, EA Sports, they annually released their annual NHL cover vote contest. And if you're unfamiliar with it, what they do is for each team in the NHL, they nominate two players that could be potentially on the cover of the next version of NHL, the EA NHL series. This year, the two nominees for the Wild are Mikko Koivu and Nicklas Backstrom. Boys, who should be on the cover?
Koivu.
I go with Koivu.
Koivu.
Jive?
Yeah, Backstrom. I mean, though, I know he's been worked a lot this year, but he just hasn't been the strong point of our team, I don't think.
He hasn't been the backbone, as you will, of the team like he has been in previous
years. He's not been back strong.
So, yeah, I would have to give my vote to one Mr. Koivu if I had to.
So, EA, if you're listening, don't even bother with the poll.
Yeah. Let it be hereby known that officially the Minnesota fans would prefer Koivu.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, then we come up to Tuesday, last night.
Last night a little bit better for the Wild.
Just a second.
Beating the Kings 2-1 in regulation, which is definitely good for us since we could potentially be fighting the Kings for leverage, not giving them a point. Some big news in that game.
Yeah, just a little bit. Well, there was a lot of different things.
A lot of different things.
A lot of good news and a lot of bad news and a lot of silly news.
Well, I mean, the good news, obviously, is, yes, they won. It makes them having to get that many less points.
You also had Clutterbuck scoring for the first time in a long time.
On a beautiful snipe shot.
Yeah. I think since March 9th, I think it was his last
goal. Yeah, he's only had four goals this season.
Yeah.
And he actually sniped that shot when you watched the play. It was a nice pass and just right in, very well-placed goal.
And it was, a minute after the Coyle goal?
Yeah, not even 16 seconds.
16 seconds,
okay.
16 seconds after the Coyle goal. I didn't even have time to finish watching the replay, and they were already announcing.
And that was, the second assist on that goes to a Mr. Brodin, had, I think, a career high of 29 and a half minutes that game, if I remember correctly.
I mean, he's got to be
something. Yeah. It was insane. I mean, I'm getting the exact number right now. But 29-22 was his time on ice for that game.
But so we got a win. We got two really good goals that we really needed. But there's also the ugly. I'll wait on the other part. But the one would be the goal against, which was highly questionable.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I think the goal happened at 0.8 seconds left in the period.
Yeah. The official time was 19:59.
Right. And this is right after a penalty call that should have been called, and it was not. Completely missed. Yet another penalty against the Wild that hasn't been called this season. And
that one's big enough that we're saving it for a minute while we're still gloating about the goals.
Right.
And there was another goal that obviously L.A. thought they got, which was waved off.
Oh, it was.
Which was
so blatantly a high stick.
Your stick is over your head and the puck is over your head and you're standing full height and somebody else has to swing their stick over their head to just try and stop your stick from cutting your goalie in half, it might be high sticking.
What I thought was just crazy.
I'm surprised they called it.
What I thought was crazy is that the refs are like, okay, that was so blatantly a high stick, we're just going to keep on playing.
Yeah.
They drop the puck, and then the horn goes off that there's going to be reviewed, and it's like,
ow.
What?
Yeah.
Did something go over to New York and go, wait, this is L.A. We got to make sure that they get their chance at a goal here.
Oh, wait, they're playing Minnesota. We got to make sure that we try and call them on everything and screw them over. No.
This is the biggest hockey market.
That might be a little too far.
This is the biggest media market in the U.S. We need to make sure that they get every chance to score a goal.
What? I'm sorry. I'm just watching this highlight of L.A.'s goal. And, what was that crap in the back?
Oh, but that wasn't the only time. There was also the play against, I believe it was PMB, against the boards.
Yeah.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
There might as well not be. And this is the...
There were some really shady plays going on.
And this is the same crew that was on the ice and called Coyle 17 seconds into the game for a match penalty on a hit that was deemed by the league as being legal.
Yeah.
And he was ejected from that game.
Now, and since we were going to get to the thing on Brown, I have to question whether or not Pominville at some point was in contention to be Brown's stepdad. Because there were three different times Brown directly went at Pominville with just...
Yeah.
Take him out hits. One was a really solid legal mid-ice hit.
Yep.
One was up against the boards. And then the big one that we're talking about not being called. Fairly classic exploding elbow. Or exploding shoulder, sorry.
No, it was elbow, I believe.
The elbow hit. It was an exploding shoulder is kind of how it's called. Because the refs were out of position to be able to see it. And you could not
all
see
all four of them, really?
Until you were on the right angle to see it. You could not see him lift it because even from every angle they showed, there was only one camera where I could tell that he intentionally brought his elbow up quick and jabbed with it.
Yeah, if you look at what's really crazy, if you look at the LA feed, they never showed that other angle.
Yeah.
So all the LA fans are like, that was totally legal. They showed the end ones where it just looks like he's, you know, it looks like he just may have moved a little bit and Pominville's selling it up.
He pulled off the exploding shoulder perfectly because you could only see it from one angle. And you had to be right, like, there's one camera angle where it's very obvious that
he
not only
over.
Brings it up, he also shoots it out at just the right second,
yeah.
just to catch him in the jaw, hit him right in the button to knock him out.
And if you look, you can tell he looks over and sees him coming, and he stops playing the puck, and then,
and
boom.
Waits for it.
And then
and that's, that was the third time
the
he had directly just gone at Pominville. So I'm wondering, did Pominville have some relations with his mom? I mean, that's all I can think. If it, why does he have Pominville's number that bad, especially as the captain of a team?
Your wife's a dyke.
Thank you, Slapshot. Hey, Halloran! Okay.
Who knows?
Well, and then you got to also look at Brown just two games prior, or one game prior, the previous game.
Previous game, 2 days.
2 days prior.
Prior. 3 days prior.
3 days prior. Did had a chicken winged a guy.
Anton Roussel from the from Dallas Stars.
Yeah, Roussel took him out with an elbow. You know,
center ice.
Center ice. He got
right on the line, actually. So one of the linesmen should have been able to see that without a problem.
Again, he got nothing for that. and if you look at the replay, you can tell that he hits his elbow into Roussel's stick, and the stick then goes up and nails him in the head. But it's the same point. It's like, if you're trying to make a clean play, you're not doing crap like that.
You're not throwing your elbows around. Not when you got a guy chasing you like that.
No.
I mean, you know, they get you in the boards. Yeah, give them, you know, a
little well, and admittedly,
there.
There's a reason it's called the exploding shoulder. But there is a point where you go too far with it.
And he's, I mean.
Of course, when you're going to make connection, you make sure to give him a little what for if you can. But
no.
You don't try and make sure to knock somebody unconscious and directly hit them multiple times just to try and take them out.
And the sad part is that he's been, you know, he's been up for a review with this play, Brown has, several times. But every time it gets brought up, he's got no prior history. He's never been suspended before, so.
Well, it was the first time for everything, and he finally got what's coming to him. So
well, he got two games out.
Yeah,
he
you know,
lost
poor
the
him.
Rest
he
of
missed
the regular season.
Yeah, after LA already clinched,
and
so he gets a 2 day rest to start off the playoffs fresh,
nice
and
healthy.
Nice and healthy.
Has a upper body injury.
We're hoping it's not a concussion, right?
It is. Yes. We all know it. I mean, you saw how he got up off the ice. You saw how disassociated was. He needed help even getting down, like,
well,
getting off and getting down the hallway.
It could just be is something as simple, though, as having your clock cleaned, you know?
He would have been back on the bench at
not
least for the third.
Not necessarily. I mean, as a precaution, they may not want him out there, you know? When you got a head injury, you know, it could have just been days from that hit. Cause that
I
hit
do
was,
believe he was on the ice today skating, from what I thought I read.
Oh, I didn't think. No, there's no, there was no skate today. It was one of the mandatory days off, under the new CBA.
So yeah, we're hoping he's all right. A bunch of people are. I know I've heard from other people just talking about the game, and just regular fans going, "Yeah, that was obviously that's a concussion."
Well,
and even the ones that thought it was a clean hit.
You know the really thing that the
and trying to justify it, going, "Oh no, Pominville came in low."
You done though?
Yeah. Pominville. You know he. He actually should have had a penalty because he interfered with Brown's elbow with his face. So I think you should get 2 minutes for facing. Perfectly timed. I love it. I'll be here all night.
The thing that really hurts is
trying to pick the teeth out of your elbow?
Yeah, that too. The fact that are we turning into Wednesday Night Comedy Hour? The fact that
oh yeah, Kenny.
One of the games that Brown is out is against Detroit, who could really screw us in the end.
Yes, yeah. Valid point. And a lot of it is I know we've talked about a lot of just horrible calls, even on our home ice, where there's blood and there's not even a call made.
I mean, there's been at least a half dozen high-sticking incidents this season.
High-sticking with blood to the face.
That have not been called for the Wild this year. It's been unbelievable, really. I mean,
yeah.
All right, so enough with Brown. One awesome save of the game. Backstrom with his calf.
A shot, a save. We can breathe
11
again.
11 seconds left in
That's
the game.
That's hockey. That's our game.
Backstrom going far left. He got five-fold in his right calf, his right leg bent around, and he saved it with his calf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he was definitely on his game that day.
Oh, that, and there was another save, not by Backstrom, but I believe by...
Suter?
No, I believe it was either Falk or Spurgeon.
Okay.
Who basically, you know, Backstrom was flailing around, and they were basically acting as
goalie.
He was
doing a Tim Thomas.
Yep, and they I want to say it was Spurgeon, and he got it out of the crease. I mean, he's basically right there with, like, two other offensive guys right there, forwards right there. So some really good play in yesterday's game.
Regardless, I'm going to say that both Sunday night's game against the Flames and last night's game against LA were great games to watch.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Totally deflating morally to watch them lose to Calgary. It was still wonderful to actually see them gelling that well and looking like they can be a contention team.
I still think the one thing that we haven't really talked about, but I think needs to be mentioned, is that game against Calgary, the crowd had like zero energy. I mean, there was no crowd energy. And it was pretty quick that there was no crowd energy. And it was like they were just going through the motions, whereas last night's game, there's actually the crowd seemed actually pretty much into it.
Now, I'm trying to remember, was that on April 21st or on April 20th? Oh, sorry, I threw a stoner joke in there.
Oh.
Wait, what about Clayton Stoner?
Nice. All right, so we already mentioned that Brown did get suspended for the final two games of regulation. That was, like I said, very fun game to watch. It's been fun watching him down the stretch outside of, say, that San Jose game. The Calgary game, as frustrating as it was, I managed to not throw my phone through the television, so we're good.
Another big thing with that game, as we talked about, is it was Harding's first time being back with the team. Sat on the bench. He didn't play, sat on the bench.
He did get a lot of nods on the way out down the tunnel.
Yes, he did.
Well, and it's maybe that's some confidence boost for Backstrom as well, knowing that if he does start to falter, he's got a strong goalie behind him, and
got another guy, you know, an A gamer instead of a potential
potential A gamer that might still need more conditioning.
Right, and with that, Harding is nominated for the Masterton Trophy for his perseverance through his condition.
Good for him. You know, if he doesn't get it, I think it's going to be a big shock amongst almost the entire hockey community.
Yeah.
Especially for coming out before regulation season was even supposed to start originally, back in what? When did he come? Like August? He said that he had MS?
It was shortly after they started skating. It was August or September.
But coming out saying
it was before we knew there was a lockout.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Saying, you know, that yes, he's got these problems and being forward with the coaches,
right,
going through and with management, and then them backing him up, him actually admitting when he wasn't feeling right and coming back and still being able to come back in time for playoff hockey. I mean, how can you not vote for this guy?
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
And, so, yeah, it is about the perseverance.
Absolutely.
For a lot of it. And it was nice to actually watch Russo announce that between periods yesterday during the game.
So, and he's not the only one up for a trophy, though. A lot of people are saying Suter for Norris.
Right? How can you not?
Guys,
look at the ice time alone.
He's got 9 games that are over 30 minutes a game.
Yep.
He's got 32 points, 4 goals, 28 assists. 14-1-1 when he's a +1 or better. I mean, the guy's just amazing.
And he's what, second in assist among defense, I believe.
That with 28 assists, that sounds about right.
Right. And the I think the craziest thing is that he's with the amount of, he's got 28 assists right now. That puts him at fourth all time for Wild defensemen in assists or points, 28 points, right?
28 assists, 32 points.
32 points. And that puts him at fourth all time in Wild history amongst defensive.
And that's a half a season.
And it's a half season. I mean, that just shows you how defensive minded our defensemen have been.
Well, some of them. Some of them. I know that's been one of the major complaints about the team from the naysayers.
But it's like outside of Brent Burns, there hasn't really been any offensive defenseman that we've had.
Well, he'd be the first NHL player to lead in time on ice and assists and points amongst defensemen since Brian Leetch in 2000-2001.
Yep.
So,
And additionally, you know, I know Russo was just saying earlier today that his choice for Calder Cup would be Brodin.
Yeah.
Because as we were saying, he's putting up a ton of time.
Well, he just put up a 30-minute game almost.
I think he's leading rookies in time on ice, and he's not scoring a ton, but he's more on the defensive end. So,
all right. Yeah. Are we ready then to start looking
at the playoffs?
Yes,
Aaron. All right. Okay.
Aaron, this is on you. Bring us home, baby.
So we've got plenty of playoff scenarios at this point. The Wild, obviously, they still need some points to clinch it. Either 2 points for themselves or Columbus giving up 2 points would put the Wild
in a guaranteed spot.
Right now, we're kind of unsure. Even if that plays out, where they'd end if they'd end up at 7th or 8th, it really depends a lot on how Detroit's rest of their season pans out. As it stands right now, the Wild have a 97.3% chance of making the playoffs. And we know, that's pretty much seems pretty obvious.
But it seemed pretty obvious that we already had our berth, and that's questionable now.
Well, not anymore. It was for a while there.
It was very questionable for a while. Now
It's back to, okay.
Yeah, we're pretty much guaranteed.
It's going to take even if they go 0-2, they still have a 76.6 chance of going to the playoffs. And that's pretty significant that they could even back into it. Right now, as far as who it looks like, you know, if they make it to the playoffs, assuming they make it to the playoffs, who their potential playoff opponent would be, odds are that we'll end up facing Anaheim.
Which could be bad. We didn't really do so hot against Anaheim this year.
We got swept in the season series against Anaheim.
And they
were not close sweeps either, I don't believe.
No, they were all pretty
they
close
all won
games.
Two game?
They really have been the bane of the Wild's playoff existence every time the Wild have gone to the playoffs.
That is true.
They're the one to take them out.
Yep.
So I'm really, really kind of hoping that Dallas does a number on, what is it, Columbus? I want to say it's the game that they got coming up, which would push us playing Vancouver instead.
Dallas and Columbus. Dallas is almost out, and Columbus is right ahead of them, but not by much.
But it would change positioning.
Yeah, for 9 through 12, right?
Yeah,
through
the Wild need to catch up to St. Louis, and they're 3 points behind St. Louis. So it's going to take...
I didn't mean Columbus. I meant St. Louis. Sorry about that.
It's going to take the Wild... gaining extra points, and then St. Louis tanking as well. Right now, the Wild have a 10% chance of making it to that 7th seed, or to the 6th seed. So there's an outside chance that they might do it. It's pretty unlikely, though.
Very unlikely, but still a possibility to make 5th seed, which would then put them playing Los Angeles. I think the top four in the West are pretty much locked up right now. Chicago, Anaheim, Vancouver, L.A. LA and San Jose could still swap around.
I really don't think it's top three is locked up.
Top three is definitely locked
up. I think there could be wiggle room in that next 4 through 6. I don't think the Wild are going to get to 6. I definitely don't think they're going to get to 5.
No, I don't see that. If they could get to 6, though, like Josh was saying, against Vancouver would be a definite better start than Anaheim.
And I hate to admit that I'm still nervous about Anaheim, even though they don't have the team they had, but it just.
You know,
superstitions
what?
Being superstitions for a reason.
Wouldn't it make it all much sweeter to beat them in the playoffs?
It would. But, you know, let St. Louis hammer on them for the first round.
I'm just scared of Chicago. I don't. I I don't know that we have an answer for Chicago.
Well, we did the first game, but that was the first game.
Right. I think the Wild can handle themselves against Anaheim. They've lost to them all the season. There ain't no doubt about that. There's no way to make that sound any better than it is. But I think they have a chance, where Chicago, I'm worried about Chicago.
You know, Vancouver, I'm not too concerned about. Los Angeles, I think they could still end up taking Los Angeles. I think it'd be...
I think it's possible, yeah.
I think it'd be a tight series, but I'm pretty sure
but
that...
But they're not going to play Los Angeles, though.
No, not first. No, they'd have
to... It's going to be Vancouver, Anaheim, or Chicago.
Anaheim, yeah.
And, yeah, I think out of that mix, even though Chicago's a great team, I'm still more scared of Anaheim, and that's just superstition. It would be nice to go in and take Anaheim out right away just because of said superstition.
Well, you know, I'd like to see Detroit take on Chicago first series, because those two would punish the hell out of each other.
Oh, yeah.
By the time that series got done, those guys, no matter who won, would just be beat to hell.
And it would probably go all seven games.
Yeah, so right now, the chances that the Wild finish in fifth is 1%. It's 10% if they finish in sixth, 73% they'll finish in seventh, 14th and eighth, and then 3 that they won't make it. So basically they have almost as equal odds of not making the playoffs as they do finishing in fifth. So yeah, really looking where it's 6, 7, 8.
Realistically, yeah. We're basically sitting
probably
right where we are.
Probably 7th place, more than likely.
Looking at 6th or 7th
right.
overall in the West.
And 7th, that puts us against Anaheim.
Yeah.
So how do we beat Anaheim? I mean, yeah. the games the Wild have had against them have been relatively close.
Yeah, and like I said, this is not the same Anaheim they've faced in the playoffs prior.
No.
I always cringe, and I always, as soon as I hear it, I just remember 2003 and Jaguar just shutting them down. After taking out the first and second place teams, Jaguar shutting them down and just going, man, oh, God, if I see Mouse ears holding that Stanley Cup, I'm going on a sniper hunt.
Yeah, so, okay, so the first game they played against Anaheim was in Anaheim. They lost 1-3. Okay, second game also in Anaheim, they lost 2-3. So these haven't been very high-scoring games. Then the third loss was against was at home 1-2. So all relatively close games. You know, who knows, I guess.
Yeah, and since the season is winding down, it looks like finally the East and the West have both settled down enough that the only spots that are even in contention are 7 and 8. Everybody else is at least clinched outside of the 7th and 8th. Place teams. It's just a matter of where they end up once the games are finalized.
Yeah.
Which so. Then brings us on to our predictions. As we've gone over, our actual results were loss, and win is how the Wild did. I think I'm the only one that picked them to sweep entirely. So, yeah, I only got 1 point out of the week. And let's see, Aaron, you had them losing against San Jose and winning out the other two. Kenny, you had the same thing. So you actually were sitting pretty hot, both of you guys, getting 2-1 on your record of picks. Jive, you're sitting along with me with 1-2. You had them losing to the Sharks, which is the only one you got right. And then you had him winning against Calgary and losing.
He's
to the
laughing
Kings.
At me, and he had the
and I got
same
the same record. I had the same record. I'm laughing because you're the only one that picked him to not having have a winning record for the week.
Yeah,
that's the only reason I'm laughing is you're the only one to not pick them at having a winning record, and you did as poorly as I did.
And they didn't have a winning record.
True.
He's got, yeah.
He does have a valid point there.
Yeah, I think he's got one in the box right there.
So, Josh, where are we sitting at currently?
Okay, our overall aggregate scores. That puts Aaron, you're at 11-5 then. I'm at 5-8. Kenny, you are at 9-7. Jive, you're at 7-9. Insofar as correct or incorrect.
All right.
And we've got a couple upcoming. We got our two last games of the season coming up.
So, coming up, we have on Friday Oilers here and Saturday back-to-back with the Wild going out to Colorado to play the Avs.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody, let's see, Aaron.
I'll just start. I'm going to go with them winning both games. I think they're both beatable teams. I think they should have no problem beating both of them.
Because of the joke and maybe a little bit of morale deflating over this last week, I am going to follow the standard of they'll win against teams that are decent teams and then lose against the teams that should be no-brainers to beat. I'm going to say they're going to lose against Edmonton and beat the Avs.
Well,
I think you overvalue the Avs because the Avs are bottom of the West. So.
I know, I do.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say, Josh, they're both teams are...
They're both, I know, but I couldn't pick them to lose both games with good faith.
All right.
Fair enough.
So, Kenny, where are you at on it?
I'm going with two wins. I can't imagine them. I mean, I didn't think that they were going to get beat by Calgary 4-1, but... you know, Edmonton, Colorado, there's no way that they're going
to... And plus, I think Nugent Hopkins is out for the rest of the season, too, so...
Yeah, they don't have the offense. They're trying to rebuild Colorado. Who knows what happened to them this year? I mean, with a record of 15-24-7, I mean, that's just... Ugh.
I think it's their required off-day disco dancing.
I don't know. Apparently, they didn't have enough Swedish diving team on their team this year.
Oh, nice. Good callback to Forsberg.
Jive.
Jive.
Flopsburg.
And for me, I'm going to have to go with a win against the Oilers. I think that being at home here, they'll probably win that one. But then going on the road against the Avs, I think that they're going to be a Minnesota team and, you know, go out with a, shall I say, a bang.
All right, and we did have something coming at the wire. There was a tie on our vote for Player of the Week.
No.
Until the episode started. And apparently, Kenny managed to con Jive's wife into voting for Kenny's pick. So apparently Kenny won Player of the Week last week while the episode has been being recorded.
Somebody's getting a beating.
That's going to be Kenny. All right, so let's...
Kids are going to bed early tonight.
All right, so Kenny, you want to bring us in on that? I don't have it pulled up, but I know you do.
I threw out a last-minute ditch effort post probably about an hour before we started the podcast.
Begging for votes.
I was like, hey, we have a four-way tie. Somebody just vote for Granlund.
And someone did. So, Kenny, you won last week's Player of the Week pick on our poll due to begging.
And, Jive, can we get a shotgun here?
Yeah.
That is now what our Player of the Week poll will be. We're now putting it under.
Yeah, we beat that horse.
So we're not doing one this week, correct?
No.
Thank God, because... I don't want to fight. If you guys start paying more attention and maybe starting polls on our site for it, we'll announce it. And that's 3 in the Box on Facebook is the easy way to just set up a poll, and we'll send it out to everybody. If you think there was a player that needs to be voted on, great. How about you guys set up the poll, and we'll gladly announce it on air.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we got?
Done.
Is that really it? It's been swell, kids. The swelling is going down. We have at least one more of these to sum up these two last games, and we will continue covering all the way through the playoffs.
For at least 2 more weeks.
Yes.
As long as the Wild are in, and possibly beyond, we'll discuss that at a later date.
Yeah. I think we got at least 2 more weeks of episodes before the Wild
are
done.
At least, at a bare minimum. And thank you very much.
So is that a guarantee that these boys are going to be in the playoffs?
I think so.
Okay, so we got another 8 weeks of episodes.
Okay, we're going all the way through my birthday, June 27th. I'm going to be watching the Wild play for the Cubs. It's going to be great.
Sounds Cubs. Awesome. What?
I was thinking of my girlfriend's bra. I'm sorry.
And with that, you can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out my band at pinrot.com.
And it's Kenny. Hit me up on Twitter at RottenK999.
And I'm Jive. And you can follow me on Twitter at JiveMidnight.
Only if you're creepy.
And, of course, this is the Meat Beast. Please check us out at 3inthebox.com. All one word, the number 3, numeral 3. You can also find us on Facebook. You can also hear me on the Clubhouse show on Cyanet Radio. I also DJ Tuesday nights from midnight to 4 in the morning on Cyanet Radio. Thank you very much for listening, and hopefully see you back here next week.